All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to see y'all here this evening on the internet with us. We're going to start out by singing some praise and worship music. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, and He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, well, the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. And this is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Oh, such love as I've ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. My voice, a song of praise, and my hands to you I raise. But more than just a song that my heart sings, more than all the praises that I bring, I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. My heart sings. myself, this is my offering. This is my offering. Than to give myself, this is my offering. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Free! Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. Alleluia, 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 you're the lifter of my head. Alleluia, Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Yeah, good to see everybody. This evening on the live stream, don't forget to turn those back speakers on for Sunday. They're good because they're off. Yeah, or they're not. There's not anything coming out of them. Yeah, or check them. Maybe an amp's off or something. I don't know. But anyway, good to see you folks. Amen. Here at the live stream, got it going on here this Wednesday night. I thought I was going to get to. They said on the weather 2 days ago that today was going to be 77. Then yesterday, they said today was going to be 70. And then lo and behold, I get up this morning and today ain't going to get hardly out of the 50s. I think it's in the high 40s out there now. I had intended, those of you that have a late model Chevy truck or Suburban, you may have run into this a time or two, but my Suburban, 01 Suburban, sits under a big pine tree. We didn't cut them all down. One of them's in my neighbor's yard, and so it's not our tree to cut down. But anyway, it hangs over my driveway, and so the pine trash and just the little bitty pieces from the pine stuff, it all trickles down, and it gets in the fenders somehow, some way. I don't know how it does. But anyway, it gets down into the fenders, and the inner fenders fill up with water, and there's like a little seal that, you know, it's the car's an 01. I don't know. It's probably cracked and seen its better day. But anyway, that seal's cracked, and so it leaks water into the – it eventually gets into the floorboard of my car. And I mean, it gets it gets in there. In fact, if I didn't back in at an angle, if I pulled straight up in there, and you know the front of the car was higher than the back of the car, it would probably soak the carpet all the way back to the back of the vehicle. But anyway, I back it in, just that's how we park there. But anyway, so it stays in the front. Man, I was so looking forward sometime today getting under there with a water hose and just. In a long piece of wire or something, and just cleaning that out. Well, that ain't going to happen. And then here comes the freeze, right? And so that Suburban will probably have a frozen floor in it come Monday. I mean, it's going to get, that's what they're saying. We haven't seen this kind of cold in this part of Texas in, I don't know, 20, 30 years. Been a long, long time. I'm not going to say anything about global warming. I don't know, but man, it's going to get cold. They're talking about 16 degrees. That's Kansas cold. We thought we left all that behind when we came back to Texas. So it's going to be chilly coming up this next week. I hope you stay warm. You got your space heater and your blankets and throw another log on the fire, all that jazz. We do have some praises and some prayer requests to look at tonight, and we'll go over those and then lift those up, and then we'll get into our Bible study tonight. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33 if you want to maybe kind of start turning there a little bit early and just be ready to go. But the praises that we have on tap for tonight, Jeff and Susie McCormick, this is Paul and Pat's son and daughter-in-law, of course. Jeff and Susie are doing much better as they recover over the COVID-19. Jeff is a little bit behind Susie, but he was kind of having a rough patch last week. You know, that 10 to 12 day deal with that COVID, you know, first week or so, 5 or 6 days in, everybody's like, well, you know, it's not that bad, and I'm doing pretty good, and, you know, fever, chills, and da-da-da-da-da. About day 10 to 12 is when it really, the hammer hits, and you either get a lot better or you get a lot worse. And so he got a lot worse and almost to the point where he was going to have to go to the hospital. Luckily, he did not have to go. He took some kind of antibody treatment and didn't know if that really helped him, but maybe it did. And so he's doing better, and Susie's a good bit better, doing better than him. So praise the Lord for that. We prayed for that. I know you prayed for that. Thank you for praying. Barbara Alexander is doing much better. She's home out of the hospital, so That is a praise. Thank you for your prayers there for Miss Barbara. Any other praises coming up on the chat there? If you got a praise, you want to put it down, we'll try to get it before we get to our prayer time. And then for prayer requests, we've got Miss Ann Redmond, bless her heart. She took an ambulance ride down to Methodist Willowbrook, I believe, this morning about 4 a.m. with some gastrointestinal issues and just a lot of throwing up, dry heaving, the sweats, all that stuff, not doing good at all. So be in prayer for Ann. We'll be in prayer for Ann tonight. She'll be receiving some tests. They'll be doing some diagnostic work up on her, and hopefully they'll figure out what's going on and what's wrong and get her on a treatment plan and get her heading in the right direction. We also want to lift up Fred tonight as he's away from his wife. He's back at the home. And anyway, Memorial Hermann, just kind of a side note here, COVID numbers are starting to trend down to such a point that they're going to start kind of loosening up their hospital visitation deal, and they're going to start letting a visitor come in during the day. And then if it's pediatric, they're going to, the way I understand this from the news today, if it's pediatric, they're going to let two visitors come. So things are starting to trend down. People are getting vaccinated. We're past the holiday, I believe, spike. And so now things are starting to calm down. Even at Tomball Independent School District, what a difference a week makes. The district went from 150-something cases a week ago down to 50-something this week. So that's just huge. You can just see kind of everything, was really spiked up there, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and now we're getting past all that. People are recovering that are going to recover. And so it's a good sign. But Fred can't get to Methodist. Methodist hadn't loosened up their restrictions yet, so we want to lift up Red as he's separated from his bride, and they've been married a long, long time. So another request is for Miss Lori, and this is for Felicia and Monty. Monty's in the hospital again. He has an infection in his blood. Monty he has to do dialysis, and these ports that they put in, the arms, and then, eventually they want to put a port down in the growing area. It's just these ports don't last forever, and, they have to be periodically changed and surgery done and all that stuff. Well, he's continually getting an infection at the port site where he takes his dialysis, so we want to continue to pray for Monty tonight that God will touch him, the doctors will do something so that he can continue to take dialysis. When you're on dialysis, you got to take it or you die. Your kidneys aren't working, and your blood will poison yourself to death if you don't get the dialysis. So he's got to have the dialysis. So we want to pray that infection would get cleared up. Sandra Capps, her daughter-in-law, Erica Capps, Erica's father, Leon O'Neill, has a blood clot on the brain. So this is a couple of days now, so we want to continue to pray for Leon O'Neill in this situation, that this blood clot would be resolved. And it's such a touchy issue with these blood clots on the brain. They want to give them thinners, to loosen that thing up. And then if they give them too much, that causes a brain bleed, a stroke. And so it's just a delicate balance here with Leon O'Neill. So we want to pray for the doctors and those involved that God would touch him and heal him. Our very own Bill Neal, we're still waiting for some kind of update on his cancer, if he indeed does have the cancer, or if this is just a cancer scare on his lung cancer. I want to pray for him. And then for Terry Kimball. Terry Kimball with uterine cancer. She's going to be having surgery this Thursday. I believe she's got a report at 3:30 to the surgical center. So we really want to be in prayer for Miss Terry Kimball as she gets ready for that. Any other prayer requests popping up there on the chat? What do you got, brother? Nothing? Anything? All right, praise his holy name. That's good praise. Amen. Anything else? What you got?
Sarah, my mom,
Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, no, yeah. Once hospice is called, it's, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Sarah, strength. Pray for her strength. Pray that Ike would have the grace to go through what he's having to go through. Yeah, amen. Thank you, brother, for that. All right. So this is Ron's boss, Sarah, and her uncle. Uncle Ike is under hospice care with cancer. So we want to pray for Sarah. Pray for her strength as she helps out with the family and helps out with his needs. And then just pray that God would give Ike the grace to withstand what he's got to withstand as he goes through the valley of the shadow of death. My dad is still in the hospital, so we're going to put Bobby Jack Lee back on there. Cannot get a hold of him. I call a couple of times a day. The phone just rings. And so it's so hard right now. He's in Veterans in Dallas. And so hopefully we'll be able to make contact with him this week. So those are the prayer requests. Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll lift these up tonight. Did we figure the speakers out halfway back? Okay, so the ones halfway back are working. I just want to make sure they're working for Sunday. Yeah. Okay, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, we thank you for these songs of the faith. And Lord, even this song that Jeremiah ended with, I never heard it before, but what a beautiful praise song of the faith. I'm sure it's an old song. I've just never heard it, but Lord, I hope we get to sing it again. It's a beautiful a cappella song. Thank you for that tonight, Lord. We always learn more praise music, more songs of the faith. We're thankful for Jeremiah and his leading us in the area of music and praise and worship. We thank you for that. Lord, as we come tonight, we just lift up these praises. We pray for Jeff and Susie. We're thankful, Lord, that they are over the big hump of this COVID stuff and back to healing. And Lord, we just pray that all the smell and the taste and Lord, the stamina and the lungs, everything just comes back 110% for them, Lord. We just lift them up and thank you for their healing. And Lord, for Barbara Alexander, we're thankful that that infection that she was struggling with is no more and that she's home and that she's doing so much better. And Lord, we're just thankful for that. Thank you for answering those prayers. And we just praise you tonight, Lord, that you are a God that heals, that you are a God that answers prayer. Lord, as we come to you, we lift up these different prayer requests to you. We pray for Ron's boss's uncle, Sarah's uncle Ike. And Lord, we pray you give him the grace to withstand, Lord, what he's going through, this valley of the shadow of death, as he, struggles with his cancer and hospice has been called in. We pray you touch his body. You just give him the grace. And Lord, you're just there in the midst there with him as he goes through this. We just pray that that hospice nurse would just be a good one to him and help him with the pain and help him with the management and just all that he's going through right now. And then Lord, we just pray for Sarah that you would give her strength as she goes to help care for her uncle and lift and move and do things for him that his wife and daughter can't do right now, Lord. We just pray for Sarah. Give her strength, protect her body, and watch over her, Lord. We also lift up Ann Redmond to you tonight. Lord, we pray for her physicians. We pray for these diagnostic tests that she's going to be having. Lord, we pray that they might reveal what the issue is and that, Lord, you might touch her body and bring healing from this issue. And Lord, we just we pray that whatever's a matter, they figure out, they find out, they discern it, they diagnose it, and they just get her on the path to healing. We lift up Fred. Lord, keep him safe as he's away from his wife. He misses his wife. watch over him, Lord, and just we pray a hedge of protection around their home that nothing else would come against them at this time. And then, Lord, for Lori's prayer request, we lift up Felicia and Monty tonight. We pray for Monty and his dialysis treatments and this infection that he has in his blood and this issue that's going on with his dialysis port. And, Lord, we just pray that that would be remedied, that situation would come together. Lord, if he's on the list for a kidney transplant, we pray that that would play out for him in a very positive and beneficial way. Pray that there'd be a donor for him, Lord. If he's not on the transplant list, Lord, we pray that he might be able to get on that transplant list for a kidney. But, Lord, we lift him up and we pray you touch his body and help him and remove this infection from his blood. We pray for Sandra Capps' daughter-in-law tonight. We pray for her father, Lord, Leon O'Neill. And, Lord, we pray that you give the doctors great wisdom and great discernment and how to best care for him and, Lord, how much blood thinner to give and clot buster to give and all that stuff. And, Lord, we pray that it would be a successful endeavor and that that blood clot would be dissolved. And he would not have a stroke, Lord. He would not have a brain bleed or any sort of that nature, Lord, that you would bring him through this blood clot that he's struggling with on the brain. We lift up Bill Neal to you. And, Lord, we pray for his health as he seeks to better figure out what, if in fact, does he have the lung cancer that's come back, or is this just a lung cancer scare? There's been some discussion and debate on whether or not he really does have the lung cancer. But, Lord, we're praying for a clean PET scan as he is either already had that or getting ready to have that. And, Lord, we just pray for a good report there on that. And then, Lord, for Terry Kimball, Lord, and her cancer, we pray for a successful surgery this coming Thursday and a quick recovery for her. Lord, we pray that the cancer is localized, that it has not spread, that it's not in any other tissues. And, Lord, we just pray that she not have to have any radiation or any chemotherapy. But, Lord, it's just the surgery and done. We're praying for that. We're praying for a miracle of healing in her life, that you would touch her, Lord, and just see her through this difficult time. Pray for Vince. Lord, keep them safe and just watch over them as they try to care for Terry's mom, Vince's mother-in-law, Lord. Just watch over that home, protect them, be with them, Lord, and we just pray you see them through this time. May they have a testimony of praise after this surgery and after this healing that will be that will point other people to Jesus Christ. We just thank you for that. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we can get in your word. We praise you for it, and we thank you. And, Lord, I pray our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it as we continue our study on the life of Moses in the book of Exodus. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're in Exodus chapter 33, and we're looking at verses 1 through 11. We'll read a little bit further, but just to begin with, we'll read verses 1 through 11. I think last time we read 32, 35, and we looked at 33, and we read 33 verse 1. So we'll read 33 verse 1, and we'll take it all the way through Exodus 33 verse 11. The Word of God reads this. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with," there's that phrase, "milk and honey. For I will not go up in your midst, because you are," what does he say here? "You're an obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way." Boy, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? "When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now therefore, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what I shall do with you.' The sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it, what did he call it? The tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship each at the entrance of his tent. All right? Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Wow, that's a good passage. Amen? So, with the reading of that, a little review and recap. In Exodus chapter 32, we saw that the people had done what? The people had sinned in making the what? The golden calf. Remember that? The golden calf. Moses had done what? He had intervened, not knowing what they had done. He had intervened on their behalf. And God had done what? He had postponed judgment. God even promised to go with the people and not abandon them. Now, you'll remember that Moses had based his plea that we talked about his finest hour. We talked about his finest hour went on for about five Bible studies. Moses had based his plea, that great intercessory prayer, he had based his plea partly on the fact that God had made an eternal covenant with his people through the covenant made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And that he, God, ought to keep the covenant. Well, God had said he would. And God does what? God keeps his word. So everything's good. He would bring the people into his land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. Furthermore, he would send his presence before them. Now, when we talk about his presence, as we first saw in the passage, Exodus 33, the very beginning of Exodus 33, he was referring, God I'm talking about, was referring to the cloud or an angel or something of that nature. Because notice what he said, notice the truth that he added in Exodus 33:3. Go up to a land flowing of milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, 33:3, because you are what? An obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way. Well, as we read into the chapter, and we begin to get the meat of it, Moses was not satisfied with anything less than the presence of Almighty God. In other words, to have any presence, however wonderful, or any angelic power, however great, go with the people rather than God himself, that was less than Moses wanted. Moses wanted for the people, God himself, to lead them, to go with them. So, Exodus 33 gives us Moses' continuing intercession for the people in order that God himself might go with Moses and the people, and that he himself, as a servant of God, might see, it's what Moses wants to see, might see, Moses wants to see it, see what, Pastor? Might see God's glory. That's what he wants to see, God's glory. One could say that Moses really learned a lesson of intercession in Exodus 32. I mean, we talked about that his finest hour. Man, boy, oh God was pushing Moses to his nth degree, right? Man, Moses, I'm just going to destroy these people. I'm going to start from scratch with you. Moses rises to the occasion. It's a test of faith. It's a test of prayer. Moses lays it all on the line and says, oh, no, Lord, no, 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 no. Snuff me out, but save the people, right? Remember that? I want to tell you, Moses really learned the lesson of intercession in Exodus 32. It's a great lesson for all of us to learn, right? To pray, to pray loving prayers, to pray sacrificial prayers, right? Pray prayers of peace in a divided land, prayers, right? As he prayed, what did he pray in Exodus 32? Well, he prayed that the wrath of God would be removed from the people. That's what he prayed. Now in Exodus 33, we see Moses building and exercising that prayer life as he intercedes for God's presence in their midst. You could look at 33, Exodus 32, building into 33. You could look at that and you could say, and you would be correct, this is one of the great examples of intercession in the Bible. You could make that declaration and you would be absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Now, as we think about these first 11 verses, and we'll get a little bit deeper into this chapter as we go this evening, what is the contextual setting of verse 7? Look at verse 7. Now, Moses used to take the tent, right? Got this tent thing going on. He used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp, right? Early in the chapter, at verse 7, we're told what? That Moses went outside of the camp to this tent of meeting. Everybody say tent of meeting. Amen? Tent of meeting. There's not a great deal of description here. It doesn't go on and on about the details, but Moses seems to have constructed a simple tent or a rudimentary, a very basic tabernacle, and he's pitched it outside the camp. That's what he's done. Now, three times we're told the tent was outside the camp or far from the camp. Your translation may say it a little bit different than that, but you get the gist. This surely symbolized that God was a holy God and that the Israelites remained a sinful people, right? You know, I can't meet with the people. I can't meet with God in the midst of the people. I've got to meet with God outside the camp of the people, right? They were still a sinful people, right? And that God must remain separate and must have some distance from the people of Israel, his chosen people. He's got to have some distance from them, right? But when Moses entered the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud came down before the tent door, and God, veiled by the all-inspiring cloud, spoke to Moses there. Listen to verses 8 and 9 again. We've read it, but let's do it again. And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Verse 9 says, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak. The Lord would speak with Moses. Later on down the road in the history of the chosen people of God, the Israelites, after the tabernacle was built, they set the tabernacle up in the very midst of their encampment. Then when the pillar of fire and cloud came down upon it, God was in their very midst. However, in chapter 33, Moses is still interceding for them, and God's anger against their great sin with a golden calf, their great sin with a golden calf, has not abated. Is it going to abate? Yes, it's going to abate, but we're not quite there yet. That brings us now to another series of intercessions on behalf of Moses for the people. We've read Exodus 33, 1 through 11. Look at verses 12, and we'll take that through verse 16. Moses intercedes again. Here it is. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people." Notice there's an exclamation there. He's emotionally wound up, right? "But you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight." He wants more favor. Wow. "Consider too," T-O-O, consider also, consider in addition, "consider too that this nation is your people." He reminds them again about the covenant. Verse 14, "And he said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Notice there's no angel going. Now God is committing to go. "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Verse 15, "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us,'" now he's pretty emphatic here. He's talking to the Lord God Almighty. "'If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here.'" We don't want the presence of Michael the archangel. We don't want that presence. We don't want another Gabriel the archangel leading us. God, if you're not going to lead us, then don't lead us up from here. Verse 16, "For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and I your people? Is it not by your going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Right? Praise God for the Jews. Praise God for Moses. I mean, Moses is, what a prayer, amen? What a prayer. Let's make a few comments about Moses' request, and that'll be the balance of the Bible study tonight. The first request, if you're taking notes, we're talking about the first request, okay? Verses 12 through 16. Moses' concern is that God had said he would send his angel with the people, back to that thought, but not go with them himself. Remember, earlier in the chapter, 33? Moses is what? Not satisfied with that arrangement. Not satisfied. But that arrangement is not the first concern, not the first concern he raises with God. Instead, Moses does a little personal intercession here. He's looking for some inner strength. He's looking for an anointing of some sort, right? Instead, Moses prays for himself. Did you notice that when we got in verses 12 through 16? Then he requests that God go with them instead of sending the angel. And after that, he makes the most daring request at all. And we'll get to there, right? But Moses' first request, his very first request in the intercession, verses 12 through 16, his very first request is that God teach him God's ways so that Moses will know him. Look at verse 13. "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways." Let me know your ways. Right? Teach me your ways. Let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. "Consider too that this nation is your people." Right? Now the question is this. Didn't Moses already know God? I mean, what was the burning bush about? Didn't Moses already know God? Well, yes, Pastor, Moses already knew God. We all agree with that. I hope we can all agree. Moses already knew God, amen? He already knew God. God had appeared to Moses at the burning bush, right? And had revealed himself to Moses as Jehovah. That's pretty deep. As Yahweh. Had revealed himself to Moses as the great eternal God. And Moses had come to know something of God then. Oh, he knew God. He knew God. But praise the Lord for this. Boy, I hope you don't miss this tonight. Praise the Lord for this Moses, as we study the life and times of Moses. Moses still wanted, Moses still desired, Moses, he will know God more. He will know God and to know Him more deeply, right? Deeply. Now, think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, right? Apostle Paul in the New Testament, who probably knew more about God than anybody but Moses, the Apostle Paul, right? He prayed very similar to just as Moses prayed in the Old Testament. Where's that prayer? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verses 10 and 11. I'll read you the passage. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Paul praying, writing to the church at Philippi, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The more these men knew God, the more they wanted to know God. That'd be a good sign, you know what? My English is not real good tonight, but that would be a really good sign for a saved person. If the saved person wants to go deeper in their walk, deeper in their discipleship, deeper in this thing called salvation, that's a real good sign. Show me somebody who's had a religious experience, maybe got wet in the baptistry, but they don't want to know anything else about God. They don't want to grow in their relationship. Man, I don't know. I don't know. But you show me somebody that's received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, genuinely got it, they're going to what? They're going to want to digest the Word of God. They're going to want to be taught the Bible. They're going to want to internalize the Scriptures. They're going to want to pray. They're going to want to get closer to this God that has saved them. Does that make sense? It's a testifying, testimonial kind of thing we're talking about here, right? Praise the Lord for it. The more these men knew of God, the more they wanted to know God. And if you and I have begun to know God, the application is this. That should be our desire as well, to know Him more. Each one of us needs to know God, what? Better? Each one of us needs to know God, what? Deeper? Each one of us needs to know God, what? In a more personal way, right? Well, Pastor, what does it mean? What does knowing God mean? I mean, when you throw that term around, how do we define it? What are we talking about? Well, I'll try to give you a few things here as we close it out tonight. In his book, Knowing God, many of you have this book, J.I. Packer, great theologian. J.I. Packer spends some time analyzing what we mean when we use the word know. Now, I'm not talking about N-O, I'm talking about K-N-O-W, right? Kno. I'm talking about know, not know that your parents told you when you were a little kid and you thought that was your name for a while, because every time you turn around, they're saying no. And you hear somebody say no, you thought they were calling your name. They weren't calling your name. They were just trying to discipline you, right? Now, we're not talking about N-O. We're talking about K-N-O-W, right? We use the word in a number of different ways. I want to try to take you through that tonight. Number one, first we use the word kno, K-N-O-W, know, to mean that we have a simple awareness such as the awareness of a fact. will say something like, I know where so-and-so lives. I know where they live. That awareness does not touch us very deeply. It's not a very life-altering thing that we know. We heard the person give his or her address, and so we remembered that info or put the info on paper, scribbled it down on a piece of paper, or we stored the info on one of our personal devices, maybe our cell phone, who knows. If somebody asks us, where does so-and-so live, we can say, oh, I know where they live. It's number, and they live on Decker Prairie Road. Decker Prairie Road is where they live. This is the simplest kind of knowledge, a knowledge of awareness. If we carry it over into the knowledge of God, then this knowledge corresponds with the awareness that all people have that there is a God. Yeah, there's a God. There is a God. You've been created and designed as a human being to know there is a God. You've been put on a planet in a solar system, scattered about in a galaxy that sits in a vast universe, and your brain and everything about you, your soul and your spirit, even if your spirit's dead, your soul, your very soul as a human being, you've been designed to have not just self-awareness, but to have God awareness. Well, what about the atheists and the agnostics? Well, they living in denial, friend. But I'm telling you, even their little brains and souls have been designed so that they can know that there is a God. Paul uses this awareness in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, to say that we are all guilty before God because although we do not know God in a personal or a saving way, we don't know Him in a personal way or a saving way, we know that He exists simply by looking outside and experiencing the elements around us. Paul says we're guilty if we do not allow that basic knowledge, that awareness of the being of God to cause us to seek Him out and to cause us to worship Him and to cause us to thank Him for the many things He has given us, including life itself, right? That's the first level of knowledge. The second kind of knowledge is that what we would call the knowledge by description. Knowledge of awareness, number two, knowledge by description. For example, we could say, I've lived in Tomball for a long time, and I really know Tomball. I don't know everything about Tomball, but I've been here a while. I'll tell you a few things about it. This means that if somebody asks us about Tomball, we can tell him or her about the town and explain how the streets run and where City Hall is located. Not that I've had to pay a speeding ticket or anything. I just know where it's at, where City Hall is located. We can describe where Old Town Tomball is and talk about what Saturday it's on. But you know what I'm talking about. They got the farmer's market. I just talked about how long I've lived here, and I can't even tell you what Saturday the farmer's market, but I think it happens twice a month down in Old Town Tomball, right? I talk about how the middle school, right, the 5th and 6th grade center, one of the 5th and 6th grade centers, how the middle school on 2920 on Main Street, right, so-called Main Street, how that used to be the high school, right? Wow, many years ago. Man, we can talk about the town because we know many facts about the town. I've lived here. But giving that descriptive knowledge would be possible to do without having actually lived here. Did you know that? I mean, I've only been here going on 8 years. But we could accomplish knowing about Tomball just by studying a good map. Or better yet, looking at Google Maps. Or better yet, doing a Google search on the history of Tomball. We could fill our minds with factoids and little nuanced things about Tomball and regurgitate those things out. We bring that over to the God side of the equation, and there are many theologians in this category. There are many church members in this category. There are probably some preachers and pastors and ministers in this category. Not necessarily saved men or women, but they can study the Bible like anybody else. If we ask them, what is God like? They can give theological answers. They can say, God is sovereign. Come to this church and say, my pastor says all the time, God is sovereign. He must be sovereign. God is holy, right? God is powerful. They can describe the characteristics of the divine being, but that descriptive knowledge is not what the Bible means when it speaks about knowing God in the fullest sense. Did you know that? That's not what it's talking about, right? So that brings me to the third kind of knowledge. We've got the knowledge of awareness. We got the knowledge of description. And then there's this third kind of knowledge. We use the word know to refer knowledge by experience. Knowledge by experience, right? Now, I've been here what I would consider a long time in Tomball, but one of our church members who's up in his 90s, Bill Neal. Bill Neal could say, I really know Tomball because I've lived here all my life. I mean, brother, he's lived here all his life. He can tell. Bill Neal can tell you anything you want to know about Tomball. I can tell you a few things about Tomball, tell you where City Hall is, talk about the farmer's market, Old Town Tomball, the parades. But Bill Neal, he can tell you where the first high school was in Tomball. Because he went to it, man. Yeah. He's got the knowledge of experience. We can talk about a person that way. We can talk about a place that way, City of Tomball. We can talk about a person that way. Ronnie Vaculik, man, in his work career, he has worked with people, some people he's worked with for 30, 35, 40 years. Ronnie Vaculik can say, I really know so-and-so. I mean, I really know them. I've worked with them for 30-plus years. I know how that individual functions. I know what that person's buttons are. I know when they're going to get angry. I know when they're going to get sad. I know what their buttons are. And I know what this individual's strengths are. I know what they bring to the company, what they bring to the shift when they're here working. And I know what their weaknesses are. I've worked with them for over 30 years. The knowledge of experience. That is what we're talking about when we talk about the knowledge by experience. And this form of knowledge is far greater and far more important knowledge than the first two that I gave you, the knowledge of awareness and the knowledge of description. But friend, whenever we talk about knowing God, whenever we talk about knowing God, that's what we want to achieve, not merely to know that there is a God, not merely able to describe the chief characteristics of God, however accurate we may be, but we actually want to know God by experience. That is to experience God for ourselves. I hope you got it so far. You got the knowledge of awareness? Ooh, I've gone over time. That's okay. Ain't none of you here have to drive late. You just turn it off and pick it up later, right? If this is too long for you, that's okay. You can cut it off now and pick it up tomorrow morning, all right? But we're going to finish it up tonight, all right? We got the knowledge of what? The knowledge of awareness. We got the knowledge of description. We've got the knowledge of experience. And as important as all of those are, the third one is the most important, knowledge of experience. As important as that is, that's still not quite. It's close, but it's still not quite what the Bible means when it talks about knowing God. When the Bible talks about knowing God, this knowledge always involves the change. The change. The change that we experience when we come to genuinely know Him. Are you hearing me tonight? To come to know God means that we can never really be what we were before we knew God. Well, I hope that's ringing your bell tonight, because that's what the Bible's talking about when it talks about knowing Him. J.I. Packer, he writes this: knowing God involves first listening to God's Word and receiving it as the Holy Spirit interprets it in application to oneself. Second, he writes, noting God's nature and character as His Word and works reveal it. Third, he writes, accepting His invitations and doing what He commands. Fourth, Packer says, recognizing and rejoicing in the love that He has shown in thus approaching you and drawing you into this divine fellowship. When we think about the three kinds of levels of knowledge coupled with what the Bible means about knowledge, we discover what Moses wanted was the kind of knowledge that changes a person. And so that really is where we land tonight. Do you want God to change you? I want God to change me. Well, aren't you a Christian? I am. Still have faults. Still have hang-ups. Still have things that trip me up and pull me down. I want God to change me. Well, if He's going to change me, I've got to know Him more, right? I've got to know His ways, right? I hope you want to know His ways. We'll dive deeper into this next week. I hope that has piqued your interest and moved you in your discipleship and helped you along the way. Amen? I hope you guys have a great evening. Let's close it with a word of prayer. Yes, sir. Yeah. Romans 1:18. Yeah, Romans 1:18. He knows this passage. He's just got to get his mind on it. Romans 1:18 and 19. And he wants us to pray for those that are going to be out in the elements. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse, right? They're without excuse. We're without excuse. Yeah. Romans 1:18, 19, 20, Brother Bobby. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer, and we'll lift up these folks that are, if they don't find shelter, they're going to be out in this, and this is not, boy, come Sunday night, Monday night, you don't want to be out in this mess. So I'm, Star Hope Missions, need to pray for Star Hope Missions that they have enough beds, enough blankets, and they're able to get people in. Because, you know, some folks just won't, they won't let go of their stuff. You know, their two shopping carts of stuff, they won't let go of it to come inside. So there'd be some people that not make it. They will freeze to death in this stuff. It'd be that cold. So let's pray for that situation. That's a good call, good prayer request. Our Heavenly Father, as we close tonight, we thank You, Lord, for this last-minute prayer request. Lord, bitter cold is a-coming, and Lord, we pray for Star of Hope Missions, and we pray for other homeless shelter mission and ministry agencies, Lord, all across this greater Houston area that will really be taxed, and they will be pushed to the limit here in the next couple of days. Lord, in the midst of a pandemic, having to social distance and make sure people are wearing masks and all of that stuff, and trying to get people off of the streets, those that are homeless, and into some kind of temporary shelter. Lord, we pray that those that need to come in would come in. Those that want to come in would be able to find a place. And Lord, those that just refuse to come in, we pray that they might have enough clothes and blankets and whatever they need, Lord, hand warmers, foot warmers, to keep from getting frostbite and succumbing to the cold weather and dying. Lord, help us if we have an opportunity to give a blanket or a coat or a donation to one of these organizations. Lord, I pray that as Christian folk, as people that are lovers of other people, whether we agree with them or not or how they live, Lord, I pray that we might think about their basic needs, and Lord, we might step up where we are able to step up. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for a warm place to lay our heads, and thank you for roofs over our heads. Thank you for food in the fridge, and Lord, thank you for gas in the car. We praise you and thank you for all that. And Lord, we lift up tonight those that are less fortunate and pray your protecting hand upon them, and that we might be available to help where we are needed. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Y'all have a blessed rest of the week. We'll see you in here live on Sunday morning at 10:45. And just keep praying. The numbers are going down. I'm praying the numbers just keep on dropping and dropping, and man, we just get back going. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Take care.